Message number 10 on the first epistle of John. Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the precious name of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus. We welcome you heartily to the continued study of God's holy word. How we wish that the whole world would listen to the word of our God. For all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and how profitable it is. But we do thank God for those who are willing to listen to the ministry of divine truth. We continue in our epistle of John, the first letter, and in chapter 2, we would now begin reading, if we can, at verse 14, and read just the 14th verse for the present moment, where John is addressing those fathers in the family of God. I've written to you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. Just a word of explanation from our preceding message, where we noted in the 13th verse that God divides his children into three grades of development and growth. He speaks of those who are fathers. He tells of those who in his sight are young men. And he also mentions those who are but little children or infants. Here we may recognize the physical divisions that we may find even in life today by nature. Matured people, physically grown. Young men who are pressing on in their youthfulness and strength. Little children who have yet to fully develop. But the beloved Apostle John and the Father of On is not concerned with the physical growth, but rather the spiritual growth of his children. It matters not how long we have been saved or how short we have been saved. We are told to grow. And thus the family is divided into that threefold development of growth. There are those completely matured, spiritually having gone on to maturity, called fathers. Another classification, young men, coming along real well and overcoming the wicked one in this world. And then the little children, who are just as in relationship to the father as the others. Now let us think of the verse before, as we have read the 14th, where the fathers alone are addressed. Now may we state again, the expression father specifies spiritual attainment only, not necessarily physical years, though the spiritual maturity may often be found chiefly among elderly believers. For yet we must remember there are many older Christians who can still be babes in Christ, according to what Paul declares in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 and 2. And then there can be younger believers who may develop in rapid spiritual growth. But the expression indicates spiritual maturity. Now here is their special characteristic. Ye have known him that is from the beginning. The word known is in the perfect tense, indicating the state that is produced continues. And the scope of their knowledge is implied when John says they know him that is from the beginning. Now we have noted in chapter 1 as well as in chapter 2 the reference of this expression, him that is from the beginning. And we found that it has reference to the Christ of God coming down from heaven above and being made incarnate in human life. Coming incarnate to be as man, to manifest himself as the word of life. And the one whom they found and received as their Savior, they've continued to know him, and to know him as he is, as well as where he is, as well as what he is, that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. They know him, my fellow believer, may I say, that the apex of Christian maturity is the knowledge of Christ, and this matured attainment is theirs. They have gone beyond any character, any office, or any relationship which Christ may hold toward them, and they find their delight in Him, in Christ Himself. My beloved, listen, may I ask you, do you know Christ? And I hope you get the implication of my meaning. And I would remind you of what the dear Apostle Paul prayed as he wrote to his beloved Philippian believers in chapter 3 and verse 10 and expressed the desire that I may know Him, meaning Christ, in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. To know Christ, my beloved, when you come to know the Savior for the first time, that is just the commencement of a life that can go on and on and on and on and on, knowing more about the Savior, of who He is, of what He is, Himself, in all the more of beauty and the perfection and the excellencies of His person. And they were wholly occupied with Christ Himself. My beloved, let me emphasize a principle here that I need as well as you. If we are the children of God, we understand that we are to take the Word of God and study it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But may I state a fact, that all truth leads you to the person of Christ. And all that we seek to know in the Word of God should ever be with the purpose of knowing Christ better. Christ Himself. Oh, do you and I know Him? And this is the lesson that we can take from the fathers who had gone on to spiritual maturity. For this is the secret of spiritual growth, knowing Christ better. Knowing Christ more, may I say, thanking God for the fact that He saved me over 60 years ago, I still must press on to know Him better. No wonder Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Well did the poet write, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And here is a lesson. For when the knowledge of Christ Himself absorbs the believer to this degree, John in this verse has neither counsel, nor warning, nor exhortation for the fathers. He just simply repeats his statement in verse 14 that he said in verse 13. For the supreme object of the Christian life and the supreme object of the life of these spiritual fathers was this. They went on to learn more of Christ Himself. And may I say that Satan can never find an entrance into a heart that is full of Christ. Oh, I say that to mine own soul. Oh, the value of realizing when the heart is filled with Christ. The knowledge of His person, the growth in Him as we study the Word of God and see the glory of the Lord Himself within it. The value of it is this. The fathers are those who know not only more of Christ, but they know more of the Father too. For it is in Christ that the Father is fully displayed. Well, might we remind our hearts that the child of today is the man of tomorrow. That is true in a physical sense, we often say it. The potentiality of the children is to become the men and the women of tomorrow. Now, beloved believer in the Lord Jesus, this is true spiritually. And yet there are many that may never pass beyond the stage of spiritual childhood. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, the dear apostle had to submit the fact that there were those who had to be fed with milk, and he couldn't feed them with meat because they hadn't grown. And in Hebrews 6:1, he said, let us go on to maturity. I know if there's one thing I would earnestly press upon the hearts of all of us who are God's children, it is this. we should press forward with purpose of heart to know and study the person and the glories of our Lord Jesus Christ, His graces, His beauty, His moral perfections are found in the precious Word of God, and solid food belongs to full-grown men who, on account of habit, have their senses exercised to distinguish both good and evil. Again, I throw out the challenge, together with the responsibility as children of God. We are to grow. We are to go on to maturity. We are not to stay babes. We are not even to stay as young men. We are to go on to be fathers that have gone on to know the Lord, to know Him Himself. Oh, I remember an incident in the life of one of God's great servants by the name of George Muller, one of the godliest men of the past century, who thus honored God so greatly. And yet when he found himself the closing speaker of a conference session, and the preceding speakers had taken all the allotted time up, and he was the closing speaker, Christ-like in his character and gentleman in his conduct, he would not leave the meeting go on any longer, for he knew the people were tired and weary and physically worn out. But as he stood up, he said, "Brethren and sisters, I only have one thing to say, for time has gone." And he spoke three words, and then he sat down. But those three words were powerful, for he said, from a life and a heart of great experience with God, those three words, "I know God." Oh, beloved, think them through. It was out of the fullness of a life that had been spent since his conversion to be in fellowship with God day by day, to live a life that honored and glorified God, to study the precious Word of God, to know God better and prove Him in action and life who He was and what He was. And from experience, he could say, "I know God." My beloved believer, may you and I have the same experience. Is my deep and earnest appeal and prayer. Oh, Father, write this indelibly upon the heart and conscience of every saint, for thine honor and glory, and for our joy and happiness. In the Savior's name, amen.